In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're on page 86, at the top of the page, volume 23, 1:18-19:28. And Jesus says, having to form my chosen people from which within, from which and within which the future Messiah was to be born. From that same people, I formed the priesthood that instructed the people and prepared them for the great good of redemption. So Jesus shows us that right from the beginning, he formed the priesthood of the Old Testament to get everyone ready for the Messiah, to get ready for redemption. And he says very, very clearly, I gave them laws and manifestations and inspirations upon which the sacred scriptures were formed, called the Bible, and they were all intent on the study of it. And then with my coming upon earth, I did not destroy the sacred scriptures. On the contrary, I supported them in my gospel that I announced. Opposed them in nothing. On the contrary, they sustained each other in an admirable way. So with the coming of Jesus to the earth, with his preaching for those 3 years, the gospel of the kingdom, I mean, the gospel of redemption, the kingdom of redemption, he said he didn't destroy anything of the old. He just built on it. And, that's why we see such beauty in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And in forming the new Nicene church, I formed the new priesthood that does not detach itself either from sacred scripture or from the gospel. All are intent upon them in order to instruct the peoples. And it can be said that anyone who did not want to draw from the salutary font does not belong to me. So here he says with the Old Testament, with the New Testament, we belong to Jesus. We are his. We are his flock. Because if they don't draw from the solitary font and don't belong to me, because these are the basis of my church and the very life with which the peoples are formed. So over the past 2,000 years, everything that sacred scripture has taught us in the Old Testament and the New Testament has brought humanity to the point of embracing the way of doing the will of God. This is what the saints have taught us. The saints have taught us how to do the will of God, how to learn from these heroic lives, these heroic saints of the Old Testament and of the New Testament, how to surrender and how to begin to live this life of doing the will of God. Okay. And he says, for this reason, an authentic priest impelled by his fidelity to Christ and to the church constitutes in reality the incomparable force of true progress for the entire world. So the entire world has been changed because of Jesus, because of the gospels that he gave to his apostles and his way of living, his holy life. We have been following the holy life of Jesus, the sacred life of Jesus for the last 2,000 years. And now Jesus says, now what he wants to do is he wants to teach us the interior life that he had. How did he pray? What was God doing interiorly? We've seen on the exterior what he has done because of the lives of the saints. And now by doing the will of God, and now he's going to show us how to enter into this new way. So he says, this true progress for the entire world is basically the new evangelization. So John Paul II has been, you know, in his 27 years of touring the world, proclaiming to the world, basically get ready for the return of Jesus. He did this because he knew very well what Jesus said to St. Faustina. The final devotion he said to St. Faustina that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. So we've had that now for 20 years and 20 plus years. And we're learning this about the divine mercy of God. We're learning about this. So this new evangelization needs new preachers. And these are the priests who strive to live their priesthood as a specific way to sanctity. So the priest has to lead the people in sanctity. So what's happened over the years, unfortunately, is the laity has taken over the role of the priest, and the priest has taken over the role of the laity, and it's upside down. The priest has to lead in sanctity. He has to teach. He has to guide the people, the sheep, as a true shepherd, to back to Christ and his church, to begin to live this full life. So this is, as he says, the priests who strive to live their priesthood as a specific way to sanctity. Okay, so what Christ is now doing with this new priesthood, and we get a glimpse of this when we look at Our Lady speaks to her beloved priest, Our Lady speaking to Father Gobi. When you go through the writings of Father Gobi, it's prepared us for this time. Everything that Our Lady told him in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s is happening today. Everything. And when we go back and look at the way in which Our Lady was forming her priesthood, the priesthood of Jesus Christ, to lead the flock, you can see that everything that was basically, if you want to say, prophesied, you know, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s is now here. So Jesus, you know, tells us through Louisa in volume 23, 118, 19, 28. Now, what I manifested on my divine will, and what you write, Louisa, and what we read can be called the gospel of the kingdom of the divine will. So here Jesus gives this title to the book of heaven, the gospel of the kingdom of the divine will. And it's not in any way to go against the Old Testament or the New Testament. And he shows us this. So he says, in nothing does it oppose either the sacred scriptures of the Old Testament or the gospel of the New Testament that I announced while being on earth. On the contrary, it can be called the support of one and of the other. So what Jesus is teaching Louisa, and this is what's so beautiful about reading the book of heaven, as you read the book of heaven, sacred scripture comes alive. The gospels come alive. You begin to understand the interior way that Jesus was preparing the world to enter into his divine will. 2,000 years ago, he said to the apostles that he wanted not only to redeem humanity, but he says to Louisa, now he says, at the same time, I wanted to sanctify this third fiat, this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And he says that it took 2,000 years of resting. He rested for these 2,000 years to help let people begin to see the exterior life of Jesus with his apostles. And now what God is doing is he's asking us to look now at the interior life that he lived. Why did he do this? The reason he did everything. And as you read the book of heaven, like I said, the sacred scriptures come alive. You fall more in love with Jesus. You fall more in love with the Blessed Mother. So he says, in nothing does this gospel of the kingdom of the divine will oppose either the sacred scriptures or the gospel that I announced while being on earth. On the contrary, it can be called the support of the one and of the other. And this is why I allow and I, God, call priests to come to read the gospel, all of heaven, of the kingdom of my divine fiat. So the first thing he's saying, and he said this to Louisa, he says that the priest will be the first to enter into this gift, to understand this gift and to live this gift. Okay. So he says, why? Why does he do this? He says, I allow and I call the priest to come to read the gospel, all of heaven, of the kingdom of my divine will, so as to say, as I said to the apostles, preach it throughout the whole world. So here, this new and divine way of holiness, this is we hear this new evangelization, which needs new preachers, that John Paul II has prepared the world for his 27 years of traveling. Now Jesus is saying, I want you to preach it throughout the whole world. So when, what's going to happen? And this is what we're going to see this. Everything's going to shut down. Everything has to shut down. Why? Because this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied is close. It's here for those who want to enter into this gift. Now, nobody possesses it fully because that great day, that great event is going to happen. And we want this. We strive for this. But as he says, when this great day happens, when this great event happens, this new day that's coming, he says, humanity will begin to understand what it means to live in the divine will. Right now we have hints of it, but to enter into this, it hasn't happened fully yet. So Jesus says, in fact, my works, I will make use of the priesthood just as I had the priesthood before my coming in order to prepare the people, and the priesthood of my church in order to confirm my coming, and everything that I did and said, so will I have the priesthood of the kingdom of my divine will. So we have to understand that this third event, if you want to say, the creation, this is the first, the second was redemption, and now this third, sanctification, we're very, very close to it. And that's why everything seems to be falling apart. It looks like families and friends and neighbors and coworkers and the church, the world, the nation, everything seems to be collapsing. Everybody is at wit's end, if you want to say. In the divine will, though, we see that this has to happen. This has to occur. As what happened with the Old Testament, with Jerusalem, so that the kingdom, the church could be spread throughout the world, that went from Jerusalem to Rome. And now Jesus says to Louisa, this gospel of the kingdom has to go from Rome back to Jerusalem. So we haven't seen anything yet. What's coming is this, as this new evangelization, this new and divine way of holiness is very, very close. And those souls that those who are reading the volumes, those souls that are focusing on the Book of Heaven, are filled with peace, joy, and happiness, because they, each day that you read, Jesus is explaining more about what is happening right now at this time. So he says, God's works are performed by men of God. Like Christ, the priest must present himself to the world as a model of supernatural life. That's the role of the priest. For I have given you an example that as I have done to you, you do also. So this is this reflection. This is volume 1 through volume 10, How to Become a Divine Mirror of Jesus. And then volume 11 through volume 19, How to Live in the Divine Will Through the Power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally to get to volume 20 through volume 36, How to Receive the Divine Inheritance of the Father, how to go back to where Adam was before the fall. And what's really interesting is we didn't know anything about that until 1996. When the writings came out of the Vatican, it's truly astonishing how much our Lord loves his people, that he would dictate to Louisa this way and this how the kingdom is going to come. So the more that we read this, the more that we study this, this gospel of the kingdom of the divine will, the sooner the kingdom is going to come. So that's from John. That was from John 13:15. Christ offered himself to his Father for our sins, our participation in Christ's sacrifice. This is the Catechism. He calls his disciples to take up their crosses and follow him. the priesthood is to embrace the cross more than the laity. For Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example so that we should follow in his steps. In fact, Jesus desires to associate with his redeeming sacrifice those who were to be the first beneficiaries. They achieved supremely in the case of his mother. See, they associated with the Blessed Mother. They were, think of the Pentecost. Who is in the center of the fire coming down, these tongues of fire, is the Blessed Mother. They associated with the Blessed Mother, and who more intimately than any other person in the mystery of Jesus' redemptive suffering. So Mary, who suffered the most with Jesus on Calvary, she basically died on Calvary. Jesus said it was a miracle that she survived, but it was the divine will that caused her not to die. Her heart was split in two, watching her son, the Son of God, being crucified and dying. I mean, you can imagine the sorrow that a mother would have watching their own son, but being the Blessed Mother, with the sorrow that she went through, it's unbelievable. So the apostles associated more intimately with Mary, the other person in the mystery of the redemption of Jesus' suffering. Apart from the cross, there is no other ladder by which we may get to heaven. So the cross is the way and the means to get to heaven. So we have to look at our life. Every one of us is suffering, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. We're all going through some sort of suffering. And the priest is called to bring healing to his flock, bring healing. Okay, so the sacraments bring the healing. The true sacraments, the true healings that I have seen have always been through the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. Even at the emergency room in the hospital, patients who were basically, you know, straightlining, as soon as they are anointed, I've seen over and over again them coming, getting, we've got a heartbeat, we've got he's back, or she's back. I've seen that over and over and over again. Through the sacraments, the confession is the great healer. Many people are so wounded that these are hooks in them, like Satan puts hooks in people so they can't advance up to God. And the only way that you can be healed is by going to confession and removing these hooks so that you're free to embrace God. And unfortunately today, the sacrament of confession, of penance, is not used at the way it should be used. Healings happen in an astonishing way. I mean, I've seen people, their faces completely change from completely oppressed to completely freed. You can just see it in their faces and their voices. This is what the priests do, the giving Holy Communion, teaching the catechism, teaching sacred scripture. It's the priest's job to heal the people. Like I've said, the rectories are empty. The hospitals are full. The psychiatric units are full. The prisons are full. And Jesus has given the priest the job to empty them. And it's not the priest. It's Jesus in the priest who's doing it. It's the sacrament that God brings about this healing, this restoration. And so now, with this gift of the divine will, God is going to do even more. The repairing and redoing of humanity that Jesus did on Calvary, that Mary did with him on Calvary, is now given to Louisa and to us to repair and redo. If you haven't gone through the repairing and redoing in the divine will, you know, it's on the internet. Our job is to, you know, we pray to the Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful That's us, hopefully. Enkindle us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. So our job in praying our rounds, a round of creation, a round of redemption, as we learn how to pray our rounds, everything on the face of the earth is being renewed. So the more that people read the volumes, the more the earth is changing. And it's upsetting everyone and everything. The devil, most especially, and all his followers. The kingdom's coming. And our job is to help, as he says, Louisa, bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus and Mary have brought redemption. And Jesus says, now a human has to bring sanctification. Well, why a human? What about Jesus and Mary? Why didn't Jesus and Mary do this? He says, because it's not, their job was to bring redemption, to redeem humanity. And now what God has done after 2,000 years is breathe this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary in this newborn Louisa. And that's the thing that is so glorious. It is the thing that is so amazing. This Louisa Picaretta. Adam was a human. Adam wasn't the son of God. He wasn't the mother of God. And he fell. And he says to Louisa, I give this to you so that you can give it back to the man, the Pope, who the two of them, it's Louisa, the key, and the keys that the Pope has will open the doors to the kingdom. So this great gift is very, very close, and it's nothing to worry about. It's nothing to be anxious about. It's nothing to try to figure out. God said it, and it's going to be done. How he's going to do it, it's going to be in a glorious way. So what our God is asking of us is to repair and redo as Jesus repaired it, to be in God's image and likeness, image of Jesus and Mary, the likeness of Jesus and Mary, is to repair and redo. So it's not just your family. It's for all of humanity. It's to say to the Lord, I want to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, all that humanity has done separate from the will of God to be done in the will of God, one with Jesus, one with Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So Louisa said to Jesus, if Adam fell and he had everything, he had the divine will, how will I not fall? She says to Jesus. And Jesus says to Louisa, he didn't have me as his Adam and Mary as his mother, as the new Eve. You have Jesus and Mary, Jesus said, and you cannot fail. This gives us great hope because what we're going to be facing is tough times. So what Jesus said to, it wasn't Jesus, it was St. Michael said to Sister Mary Ephraim, he says, you're a little Joan. He says, big Joan, Joan of Arc, led an army and defeated an army. He says, it was tough. And then he said to her, to Sister Mary Ephraim, you're going to have a tougher time because the army that you're going to fight, basically lead the charge, if you want to say, is not of earth. It's principalities and powers. He says, it's going to be a tough battle. But he said to Sister Mary Ephraim, you know, basically your yes to God is going to have God reign in you. It's the same thing with us. Our response to God is yes, fiat. Fiat mihi of the Blessed Mother, she became the mother of God. Fiat voluntas tua, may your will be done on earth. This dust, as it is in heaven, is the strength of God. We have no strength. We're nothings. Yet Jesus says, I want to use you to bring about the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And he says basically to each and every one of us, are you ready to bring this about? Are you ready? And if we say yes, God goes, good, good. That's all you have to do is say yes. I'll take care of everything. Now, our Lord has says this very clearly. Apart from the cross or the suffering, there is no other ladder in which we may get to heaven. So the cross is our It's going to be our joy, not because we love suffering, but like Louisa, we're going to say to Jesus, we want you to come down from the cross for just a moment. We will take your place for just a moment. Our suffering is minuscule compared to what Jesus went through. He went through everything. What we're going to do is we're going to learn to understand our way to the cross. Our way to heaven is through the cross. So in volume 26, 8, 25, 19, 29, therefore the seed of the kingdom of my divine will was created by me, Jesus, in the act of my praying, I formed and recited the Our Father. So this prayer that we pray every day, Jesus is going to open the door to us to have us understand what these words are all about. And he says, and if I taught it to the apostles, it was so that the church, by reciting the Our Father, might water and fundicate the seed of the kingdom of the divine will, and they may dispose themselves to model their lives according to the dispositions of my divine fiat. So this disposition is what God is looking for. What is the disposition? It's Our Lady's disposition. Let it be done to me as you say. It's Jesus's disposition. Not my will, Heavenly Father, but your will be done. It's that surrender. It's that docility. It's that submission to the will of God. This is why they love Louisa. She's the only one that has done this the way God wanted from the beginning. The saints did it by doing the will of God, but no one has lived in the will of God until Louisa. Our Lady did as the Mother of God. Jesus did as the Son of God. But what Jesus is now saying is, I want you to learn from Louisa how to live in the divine will. She put everything on paper for you. And as we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, it's really a new and divine way of holiness that's happening. So he says very clearly, I taught thee our Father to the apostles so that the church by reciting it might water and fundicate this seed, and they might dispose themselves to model their lives according to the dispositions of my divine fiat, of my life and my mother's life. This is what Louisa did. And our God is he's going to give us all the helps that we need. And we can use all the excuses that we want not to do it. I mean, they're just excuses. Our God wants us to say yes. He's given us the grace. When you pray for grace, it's there immediately. For example, you can't wash the dishes. Let's just use that. And your dishes are piled up in the sink. And you're going, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And you pray, Lord, give me the grace to wash the dishes. As soon as you say that, go to the sink. Turn on the water, put in the soap, start washing the dishes. You have the grace at that moment to do it. That's how grace is very, it's there as soon as you pray for it. But if you say, give me the grace, well, I don't want to do it now. Give me the grace, well, I'll do it later. Give me the grace. God goes, you have the grace. As soon as you pray for it, it's yours. So we've got to discipline ourselves. When we ask for something, we respond. I was just talking to a man who prayed for his daughter to be healed. And it was, I think it was 2 Kings 2 verse 4. Everything's fine. Everything's great. Everything's going to happen. Everything's going to be done. And we were talking about being positive. And this is what Jesus taught Louisa. Louisa, stop being negative. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. And Louisa would go, but Jesus would say, be peaceful, joyful, and happy, or I can't be there. And she loved Jesus so much that she'd eliminated from her life negativity. When we are positive, positive things happen. I mean, this has been proven over and over again. when you have a plant and you talk to the plant lovingly, the plant grows. It's a fact. When you scream at the plant and curse the plant, the plant can't, it just starts to wither and die. When you speak love to water and you look at it under a microscope, it's beautiful. When you speak hate to water, you look at it and it's all deformed. So what Jesus is teaching us with this great gift of the divine will is to be so positive that we really begin to live heaven on earth now, not to wait until you die to have heaven. So everything that oppresses us, everything that is, you know, around us of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, all that's out there is to say, no, my life, I'm going to dispose myself. I'm going to have the disposition of the divine fiat where everything is heaven. And this being positive brings healing. It really brings healing. And that's what you see, especially in confession, when somebody makes a good confession and basically says, I'm sorry, and I don't want to live like this. I want to change my life. The grace that's there at that point, the full of grace at that point, the person becomes happy. Yeah, I've seen so many people leave the confessional happy. Why? They finally are free of this burden. And this is what Jesus is asking of the priest, to really bring healing to the people, to the laity. So volume 35, 3, 4, 1934. Now the soul who enters into the divine will breaks the prison. See, the divine will is joy, happiness, heaven. Breaks the prison, knocks down the unhappy city without ways, without exits. And united with the power of my holy divine will, the divine engineer forms the plan of the city, orders the ways, the roads, the communications, and acting as an insuperable craftsman, forms the new citadel. When you're in, this is what you're going to find with the Book of Heaven. As you read it, things begin to change. Forms the new citadel of the soul with such mastery as to form the ways of communication in order to let other souls enter, and form so many citadels in order to be able to form the kingdom. See, it's your job is to let Jesus reign. He's to gaze in your gazing, listen in your listening, speak in your speaking, beat in your heart beating, breathe in your breathing. So your home is where Jesus is. Your citadel is going to, he says very clearly, the citadel of the soul, the insuperable craftsman, God himself, the mastery, forms the ways of communication in order to let other souls, this is everybody in your family, everybody in your neighborhood, everybody in your job, your business, form so many citadels in order to be able to form a kingdom. Okay. And so what Jesus says here is first, Louisa, the Holy Father, priests will be the models of the others. And as this happens, the parishes become alive. The parishes become full. I remember back in the 50s, the mass on Sunday, I think there was three priests in the parish and there was 12 nuns sitting in the front row, and there was five masses and they were packed. And now there's none of that. We got maybe one mass. This church is sparse. So Jesus is saying, he's telling everybody, what do you want? So what humanity has done is made Sunday another Saturday where you can golf and play tennis. You can play football. You can soccer, car races. You can do everything. It's not a holy day of obligation. So what Jesus is saying to us, he says, I want you to first of all, make Sunday a holy day of obligation again. Sunday, the Lord's day. Don't steal it from him. And it has to start with a few. And this will, as this grows, it's going to flower like you wouldn't believe. Like, for example, come, let us adore him. That song, oh, come, let us adore him. Here, Christmas season. I really believe Jesus is asking each and every one of us to come to adore him in the Blessed Sacrament, to be with him at exposition. I mean, we wear the purple during Advent because it's a time of mortification. It's a time to change our way to prepare for the child Jesus, prepare for the birth of Christ, to rejoice in this day where God became man. And so one of the things that we can do, which is wonderful, is spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, to make an appointment to be with Eucharistic adoration. And if you can't find a parish, as we have here with Peter, you could find Eucharistic adoration on the internet, any place at any time. You can be with Jesus. Make an appointment with Jesus every day. Be with him. Look at him. Fall in love with him. Come, let us adore him. No, it's just not just a song. It's not just a time for Christmas presents. It's a time to really listen to what the Lord is asking of us. Now, you have also, if you haven't done it this year, do it this year. And that is the Christmas Novena from the 16th to the 24th. Begin to understand this love of Jesus in the womb of the Blessed Mother. Begin to understand this interior life of Jesus that he wants us to know. Saint Honorable de Francia talked about this, and he said, it is such a joy to be with our Lord in his womb, because Jesus tells us that we were born with him in the womb of Mary. That's how special we are. We are to be one with Jesus, one with Mary in this Christmas season. Now, it's this time for adoration is really, really important, because as Saint Teresa says, this is the only time where we can freely love God. Because once we get to heaven, we're going to have to love God. We're going to see him as he is, and we're going to fall on our faces in total praise and glory of who he is, how beautiful he is, how holy he is, how perfect he is. St. Teresa says, use this time now where it's free. You're freely going to see Jesus, freely falling on your knees. So he says very, very clearly, the testimony reflecting by this, his life gives the priest his qualification and constitutes his most convincing sermon. Okay. The model, the priest has to be the model. Okay. In the same ecclesiastical discipline, lived with real interior motivation, turns out to be a providential aid in which to live his own identity. This is the priest. To foster charity and allow his testimony to shine forth. During the homily, what the priest says is from his inside. When you hear a priest give a good homily, it's what he lives. Without this, all cultural preparations or rigorous organizations would merely be an illusion, doing without being with Christ. So like I said about my pastor, he would be 15 minutes before Mass kneeling in front of the Blessed Sacrament. 15 minutes after Mass kneeling in front of the Blessed Sacrament. His example was powerful. His example was powerful. Not just doing, but he was being with Christ. He says, here lies the horizon of the identity, life, ministry, and permanent formation of the priest. A task of immense work, open, courageous, enlightened by faith, sustained in hope, and rooted in charity. In this urgent and necessary work, nobody is alone. it is necessary that the priests be assisted by an exemplary, authoritative, and vigorous action of pastoral government by their own bishops, in communion with the Apostolic See, as well as the fraternal collaboration of all the clergy and the entire people of God. I met with my bishop a couple weeks ago, and he was a father. I mean, he acted with great compassion, great love. And I told him, it reminded me of when I was with, when I stayed in Rome with Bishop Danilek from Canada, Toronto. It was an amazing time to see a bishop who was so powerful in his love for humanity. It was really astonishing to watch. And, you know, I saw this, I sensed this from my bishop. And again, the bishops, they go through a lot, let me tell you. And our job is to pray for them that they can be the father, be that shepherd of all the parishes, of all the priests, of all the sisters, of all the brothers, of all the deacons. And when this happens, the parish, the diocese blossoms, vocations just start happening. It's God working powerfully with his priests, with through the bishop, with the sisters, with the brothers, with the deacons. It's this explosion of love that a parish is supposed to be, a diocese is supposed to be. Every parish should be outdoing the other parish with their love for Jesus, their love for Mary. And so we begin that now in the divine will with our parish, our family. And we want to make sure that this Advent will be the best Advent ever. We want what God wants. We want to say to the Lord, use us as you would want, use anyone, use us as you would use us. We are the least, we are insignificant, but you, Lord, use us the way you want to use us. And God goes, good, watch what I will do. When we get out of the way and we let God be God, I mean, when you really think about it, he is everything. He is everything, and we are nothing. We're a speck in this universe, not even a speck. We'd have to look in a microscope to see us. And he is everything. And he says, I want you to participate with me. I want you to share in divinity with me, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass. I want you to enter into this abundant life with me, with God. And our job is to seek it. Our job is to find out how we can do this. And again, as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, Jesus is going to show us. Mary is going to show us. Luis is going to show us. And as we enter into this, it's not going to be the same. The kingdom is coming. And as Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, time has come to an end. The new era has begun, and he's asking us to live in it now, to live heaven on earth, no more negativity, but to live that peaceful, joyful, happy life. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.